Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you.
Lord, that is our prayer this morning, Lord, that we just want more of you. More of you, Lord. Lord, we just want you. It's not you plus anything. Lord, you are enough all by yourself. As we come and we worship you this morning, Lord, we just want you to be blessed. You've blessed us plenty. We just want to bless you with our praise, God. Thank you for your goodness towards us. We love you, Lord. We glorify you this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, it's springtime. I love springtime. Enjoy seeing nature come back alive, and things greening up. Things seem just fresh and new. Oftentimes at springtime, we kind of want to go over those things that we may have neglected around the house, and maybe a fresh coat of paint on some things, maybe some things have been kind of falling apart or need some maintenance. Well, I do want to encourage you this morning not to work on the house more than you work on the home. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. The house is just the building, but the home are the souls inside of that building. And so I pray that we would work on our home just as much, actually more so than the house. And so today we're going to be talking about spring cleaning and cleaning our houses. I do want to start in the book of Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. Joshua's exciting. The nation of Israel is going into the promised land. You're seeing victory after victory. And so I love the book of Joshua. Actually, when I came to Sand Springs 20 years ago, the Lord had given me a verse from the book of Joshua. Be strong and courageous. And I'll never forget that. It was a powerful word that he had given me. And I was not courageous when I first came here. And I certainly wasn't very strong. I was 29-year-old kid following the pastorate of a man who pastored for 25 years. But there was a man who made my transition so much easier, and that was Brother Cecil Downey, your dad. Brother Cecil was such a great man of God and blessed me, and he helped the transition happen. But I came in with an Iwo Jima survivor veteran on my side. And you can't hardly lose like that, right? Amen? All right, so, but I had that word for the Lord, be strong and courageous. And so we come into this passage of scripture in the book of Joshua in chapter 6. And we are about to, in this time of Israel's history, let me kind of catch you up. In the book of Exodus, God brings Israel out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea, wander around in the wilderness. We see Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. In those three books of the Bible, we're wandering around the wilderness. God gives them the law. We see God do miraculous things. And you see a whole lot of griping, a whole lot of complaining. And as the nation of Israel, it's like every one of us individually, the parts of us of unbelief have to die off in order to get us into the promises. I hope that y'all join me this morning. I know you're an hour different, but if you would just participate, it'd be so much easier on my behalf. But the parts of unbelief in our life need to die off so that we can move into the promises of God. And that's exactly what happened with the nation of Israel. And now here we are in the book of Joshua, and they're stepping into the promises. And so here we are. They're about to go into the city of Jericho. Now, you need to understand that this pagan land, we call it the promised land, but the promised land was inhabited by a pagan people, and they were horrific. Some of the things that they would do were absolutely horrific, and worshiping their fertility gods and their demon gods, the god Molech. We're told these gods were actually demons, and that they would throw their babies into the fire in worshiping of these demon gods. And so the things that they would do are absolutely horrendous, and so much so that God said, I can't allow my people to coexist with the people that do that. because we are so drastically different. And so the first city in which they take is the city of Jericho. As soon as they cross over the Jordan River, they're going to take the city of Jericho. And in verse 18, it says, "And you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." God had given them a warning, said, I don't want their pagan practices getting off on you. I don't want what they do becoming what you do, and in so doing, you become accursed. Chapter 7, verse 1, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel." Interesting thing here that happens in chapter 7. So as the nation of Israel goes into Jericho, y'all remember the story, they marched around the walls of Jericho. 7 days they marched around the wall. On the seventh day they marched 7 times around the wall. Shout, for the city is yours. The city wall falls down. They run in and they take Jericho. But somebody took stuff from Jericho that he wasn't supposed to be taking. And so next thing you know, the next city is a small little town of Ai. And Joshua says, we don't have to send in the whole army to Ai. Let's just send in a small little group of warriors and they'll take Ai. And he didn't seek the Lord's direction. And so they go into Ai and get their backside handed to them. They come running out and whining and crying because they done got a royal whooping. And Joshua goes falling on his face to God, crying out to God. And here's God's response, verse 10. "So the Lord said to Joshua, get up." I like that. Sometimes somebody needs to just get serious with us. And, I've heard a lot of teaching, a lot of preaching in my time, and there's some preachers that they're just really in touch with their feelings. and that just does not resonate with me. I need somebody that's going to be a coach that just said, I'm going to encourage you. And so I know that's maybe how I respond is when somebody speaks like God does, get up, exclamation point. Why do you lie thus on your face? Joshua, why are you crying to me when you should have cried to me before you went to Ai and sought my direction before you went in? And now you're crying because you took a whooping. Verse 11, "Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived." I don't know if y'all catch this. I want to read verse 11 again. "Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even..." And you'll notice it's as if the whole nation has done it when it was one man. One man. "Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff." Now, this is interesting because there's some things that this man Achan has taken. That kind of rhymes, don't it? Achan has taken. And he'll be aching just a little bit. he has gone into Jericho, and he has taken some items. Now, the interesting thing about is when we read that they aren't to touch the accursed things, they weren't to take of the accursed things, there's something else that's going on in this passage of Scripture. As the first city that they are going to take in the Promised Land, they were to take all of the treasure that has been taken out of this city and bring it to the house of God. This is called first fruits. When we understand the principle of first fruits in that we bring our first fruits unto the Lord, he blesses the rest. But if you keep the first fruits, which are the Lord's, there's something that happens with the rest. And the Scriptures actually says it becomes accursed. So when we're looking at this passage of Scripture, we don't know if it's the gold and silver that Achan has taken, or if it's this garment that has been involved in pagan practices, maybe. But God says it has become a curse. Let me just try to back up what I'm saying here in the book of Malachi. In the book of Malachi, God is lining out the nation of Israel. In chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you in tithes and offerings? Remember what God says in chapter 7 of the book of Joshua. In verse 11, you have transgressed, for you have taken of the accursed things. You have stolen and deceived. And then God says in Malachi, you robbed. And how did we rob you? You didn't bring the tithes and offerings. And then verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. So basically, when it comes to our tithes, those tithes, when in his possession, brings us blessing. But those tithes in our possession brings us cursing. And I know this has gotten off to a great start, and so exciting. But this is the first fruit. Jericho was the first fruit of Canaan land, and they were supposed to bring the first fruit to God, and yet this man Achan has kept these things. Verse 13 of Joshua 6. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. So it could have been this garment. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. That's a powerful statement. I want you to know that when they're going into Canaan land, into the promised land, we call it the promised land because it had been promised generations before to God's people, God's covenant people. And yet the pagan people have taken over in this land. And God says, I am going to remove those pagan people. I'm going to bless my people with the land that I originally intended for them to have. And in doing this thing, you can't dabble in their stuff and expect my blessings on you. You can't have both. Because if you take on their accursed things, you'll not be able to defeat them. There's a whole, I hope you're picking up on all the spiritual stuff that applies to us today, church. We are now the covenant people of God. But there are things that go on in this world you ought not lay your hands to. You just have no business messing with it. And so they try and narrow down, okay, who's got the stuff? Who's got the stuff? So they've taken all the tribal leaders and they narrow it down to the right tribe. They narrow it down to the right clan. They narrow it down to the right family. They narrow it down to the right man in verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver under it. What is it that we hide in our homes? What is it that we say, I get it that we're not supposed to dabble in those things, but it's okay. I'm going to keep it out of sight. I'm going to hide this stuff in our homes. And God says, your kids might not see it, but I see it. Your neighbors might not see it, but I see it. Or maybe it's something we hide in our heart. Maybe it's an attitude that we've picked up out there in the world. It ain't a Christ attitude. It's an anti-Christ attitude. And we bring that into our home, and now all of a sudden the temperature of our house just goes cold. Everybody with me? What is it that when we in our personal lives, we must also be about a personal cleansing, a personal holiness, because out in this world, you're going to step in it. And when you step in it, you can track it right back into your house. Jesus says, we studied last week, Jesus says, I need to wash your feet. Peter's like, oh, you ain't washing my feet. And Jesus said, if you don't let me wash you, you can't walk with me. Well, guess what? We'll track this stuff in our house. And Jesus says, I need to handle that. And so maybe he will sensitize our heart. Maybe he's going to do it during the service today. And he will just kind of show us in our understanding, oh, you know what? I've got something in my house I don't need to have there. Whether it be an item, an action, or an attitude. I've had so many calls from different people that they say, Brother Eric, we got something weird going on in our house. We need you to come clean our house. And they're not talking about mopping their floor. And I'll go over there, and let me tell y'all something. It's nothing that you have to call me to do when you have spiritual wickedness that is moving around in your house. You can handle this if you are a child of God. You have the authority of Jesus Christ. I'll just go ahead and tell one story. It's story time. Everybody get excited. It's story time. Yay, story time. So we had one family who moved from Athens to Houston, and they had a house that they were living in, and they had rented it out because they couldn't get it sold. They tried to get it sold. They'd been down in Houston a couple of years. They couldn't get it sold. They had some people renting it, and in that, these renters, they were doing occultic stuff, apparently, in their house. Obviously, drug use is involved in that, and once they got evicted, they had a carpenter come in and try and work on the home. This carpenter would call them up and say, look, I don't know what's going on in your house, but there's some weird stuff happening in your house. And this family is like, Pastor Eric, we're down here in Houston. We can't come up there. And would you go clean our house? Yeah, I'll go clean your house. Let me tell y'all how afraid I am of that stuff. I took my 10-year-old boy. He's not 10 anymore. He was the one that was over here banging on the drums. And he took his shofar, and we walked into that house, and Caleb was boop, 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 blowing that shofar. And we just said, this house is being cleansed in the name of Jesus. And we take authority back over this house for the cause of Christ. Y'all know that house sold in less than a month? Carpenter goes back in there, no issues, no more issues. And that house sold just like that. All right, so just that story time ought to help us understand there are spiritual things going on in this world that when I am messing with things that seem benign and non-spiritual, there can be spiritual things attached to it. And you invite that into your home, there are going to be bad consequences. There may be items that there are spiritual things attached to. I won't go into another story time, but I was cleaning another house one time, and I just walked through the house, and there's something on the wall, and said, what is that? And it was amongst a bunch of knickknacks and things, and I said, what is that? Oh, it's nothing. What is that? There's a box there. It was a voodoo doll inside the box. The Holy Spirit just beep, laser beep, tracked it right in. Said, that's not supposed to be in here. This is a house that is presented to the Lord. This is the Lord's house. And the Lord just highlighted that one little item on the shelf. And we said, all right, that's got to go. That's got to go. Now let's clean house. There could be items. There could be activities. There could be attitudes in which the enemy, he will try and infiltrate. We can track stuff in our house. And it's kind of obvious when you track something in the house. We have 9 dogs in our house. We have 5 bird dogs, and it's obvious when you track that stuff in the house. And you know what's not so obvious? Dust. And springtime is often time that we go do a deep cleanse, and there'll be dust places. I mean, we got dust bunnies. They've had babies. And so, you know what I'm talking about? It just kind of creeps in. It doesn't come obvious. It just creeps in. And as it creeps in, it begins corrupting things. And so spiritual darkness will creep in. But let's look in the book of, I don't want to jump too far ahead. Let's look in Joshua 24. In Joshua 24, Joshua is old and about to die. And it's a funny thing about the scriptures. God comes to Joshua and says, you're old and you're about to die. So Joshua leaves to the nation of Israel some direction as he's about to leave. Verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. How many years now are we separated from when they were in Egypt? Well, it was 40 years wandering around in the wilderness, and now however many years it's been of Joshua's lifetime in which they're taking the promised land, and they're still holding on to some of those old gods. I've actually seen those gods with my eyes, these little pagan little statues, and some made of gold, some made of stone, and they would put them in their pockets. They would keep them on themselves. But don't you think that little man or that little woman, don't you think that thing is innocent? Because there are spiritual deities attached to those things. And they were inviting, and they were the principalities, the gods of those lands, the pagan, the demonic spirits of those lands. And they would attach, they would invite, these people would invite those gods to bless them. And these were called fertility gods. So you can imagine some of the things that were involved in their pagan activity. It's so interesting that it was so hard for them to get rid of these false gods of generations prior. But when it comes to the one true God, how quickly they fell away from him. I need you to just think on that for a second. It was so hard. We're about to see how hard it was, but here's Joshua's warning, verse 15. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. In other words, let's just quit being wishy-washy and pick one. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That verse of scripture is on my front door. A little plaque on my front door. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. And so now in verse 23, the last chapter of Joshua. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God, the Lord we will serve, and his voice we will obey. And they were fervent. They were serious. They weren't lying. They were going to serve the Lord. But the next generation, Judges, the book of Judges has got to be the one of the most depressing books of the Bible. Everything that God did in Joshua that was so exciting, we start seeing just compromise and failure in the book of Judges. Verse 19 of chapter 1. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland. So what happens now in the book of Judges? The whole first chapter, you can read it on your own sometime. The whole first chapter, what you're seeing is, though there were great victories, Israel did not drive out the pagan peoples. I mean, over and over and over. We're not going to read them all. The whole first chapter, in verse 28, we'll look at it. And it came to pass when Israel was strong, they were strong, that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but did not completely drive them out. I need you to catch what's going on here. So Israel has now become victorious. They have taken the promised land. They have victory after victory after victory. And yet they said, you know what? I don't want to seem harsh and hard. These people, they're kind of hard to get them out of here. Let's just leave them. I know that's not what God said. I know God said that we can't coexist with them because they will compromise and corrupt us. I know that that's what God said. But good night, they're so hard to get out of here. So let's just do this. Make them work for us. Sound like a deal. Make them work for us. They'll make our lives more pleasurable. They'll serve us. We're not going to serve them. I mean, my goodness, that would be totally against God. So they're going to serve us. And so... Can you? I don't know if anybody's making the connection to today. When God says, don't do those things, we say, okay, we're not going to let it master us, but it's hard to get it completely out of my life, so I'm just going to make it serve me a little bit. Some things we call entertainment. We're going to make it serve us. It's going to add some quality to our life. I came in from a hard day of work. Let's just play a little something here. The things that come over the electronic devices into our homes that we call entertainment or downtime or whatever we want to call it, let us beware. There's an enemy that wants in your house. He wants in your house. And just like we would never allow the doors left open with our little baby daughters and teenage daughters hanging out in the house and the doors open all night or your money in your sock drawer, whatever. You got your valuable items in the house. You wouldn't leave the door open. Anybody that wants something, y'all come on and get it. You wouldn't do that, but yet you will allow it to come right inside your house. I said this in the first service, and I will apologize if this sounds harsh. Parents, if your kids don't have some kind of a filter, an accountability software, if you have not put something on their devices, you are stupid. Amen. My mama was even in the room last service. She didn't come get on. She didn't grab him by the ear. Parents, you have to beware. There's a real enemy who hates you and wants to destroy your family. He hates you. He hates your children. No matter how lovely they are, he don't care. Beware of what you think is going to serve you. Because if you give the devil an inch, he will become a ruler. You can't let him have a little bit. You can't bring them in and say, they're going to work for us. It won't be long and you'll be working for them. It won't be long and you'll be working for them. Chapter 2, verse 1. It's all fun and games till God shows up. Then the angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt, brought you to the land which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. That was part of the covenant. It's the same way when you have a wedding. There are vows, and in the vows you promise to love and be faithful. In other words, there's a covenant being made that says, you will be my only. You will be my only. This covenant was made with God and his people when they said, no, we won't serve the other gods. You're our only. You're our only. And yet God comes and says, I kept up my end of the deal. Verse 2, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Verse 3, therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you. They shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you. I'm not going to do for you what I commanded you to do. I'm just reminded of a little while back. It wasn't that long ago. Last year, there was an issue that I, story time again. There was an issue in which I recognized something was behind some activity. Now I don't even remember what it was or who was involved in it. Maybe one of y'all. I'm all right with it though. I'm over it. I'm just kidding. But I was asking the Lord, I was praying, Lord, would you drive that spirit out from here? And the Lord said, I'm not going to do it. I commanded you to do it. I gave you the authority to do it. I'm like, ooh. Yes, sir. You did. And I will. We need to muster up some strength and some boldness and some courage and say, I will not allow some things into my house, but I will, as the man of the house, I will come through my house and I will cast out everything. I don't care how dark the spirit. I'm bold enough to fight it. Why? Not in my strength, because I don't have any, but in the strength and the authority of Jesus Christ. Let me tell y'all, I deep clean my house on a regular basis. I'll go through the house, through every room, and I pray through every room. Saying, Lord, I don't know, we might attract something in here, but I'm throwing it out in the name of Jesus. And you got to pray out loud. You need to understand, families, spiritual warfare has to be audible. The devil may put thoughts into your mind, but he can't read your mind. And so you have to speak things out. You take the authority in the name of Jesus. What was that about that mountain? He said, speak to the mountain. Mountains represent kingdoms. Speak to the mountain and tell it to be cast into the sea, and it will. I might get a little boat up on you if you ain't careful. And so they said, all right, we failed. Verse 4, so it was when the angel of the Lord spoke to these people, these words to all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. Then they called the name of that place Bochim. So let me just move to the next page. I want you to check verse 10. We're only in Judges chapter 2. I want you to know it's in the same chapter when the people have heard from God himself and he says, you compromise. They said, we're right. You're right. We repent. Verse 10, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. They didn't know. Our nation is one generation away from being a godless nation. It's one generation away. I recognized some time ago that if I don't lead our church into making a good handoff to the next generation, that I failed and we failed. And so you'll notice all the young people that are serving all over this place every Sunday. we don't have a youth group the way that I used to be the youth pastor. And man, we had games and we had all kinds of fun and playtime and all that kind of stuff. We don't do much of that here. Our kids serve. And what's interesting is that when I was a youth pastor, the hardest age to reach and the hardest age to keep was when they became college age, and now they're out on their own and now they have that independence and they're gone until they start having babies. Not so at Sand Springs. What we love is they graduate high school and they don't go anywhere. Why? Because this is their church. Amen. If we don't make a good handoff, We're one generation away from being a godless nation. And the failure of the church to reach the next generation has been so dramatic that we're now seeing it from generation past to present. I don't know if anybody else is in the room with me, but I'm telling y'all, it's obvious. Here's an illustration that I was blown away when I heard this. Back in the late 50s, early 60s, the I Love Lucy show was filming an episode in which they panned through the house and the camera accidentally showed the base of a toilet. And the censor said, "We can't show this episode. America's not ready to see that yet." That was in some of y'all's life, not mine, definitely not. Some of y'all's lifetime. It hadn't been that long ago. In which America wasn't ready to see the base of a toilet. Now we got people drinking from a toilet. I mean, it's horrible, the things that come across. And the stuff that used to be on cable, you had to have cable TV, is now being funneled in through my house and on an antenna. And I'm like, I ain't watching that channel no more. You got to beware that there's a real enemy and he really hates you and he really wants in your house. He really wants to infiltrate your house. So they forgot God, verse 10, verse 11. Then, because they forgot God, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord their God, their fathers who brought them out of the land of Egypt. Remember, generations, they bring in the false gods with them, but when it come to the true God, they forgot him one generation. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtoreth. By the way, interesting point. Do you know what kind of gods these are? Fertility gods. You know what they do in fertility god worship? You can imagine. So it was more fun to worship these gods. They had temple prostitutes, male and female. This is what I'm telling you, is some of the stuff that was going on there, God's like, we can't coexist with that. We're going to move them out as we move you in. And they said, let's let them stay. Can we keep it? Chapter 3, verse 7. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served Baal and Ashtoreth. I want to move on quickly. I need to get to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 43, again, there is a domain, there is a realm that is going on that is unseen, but it is very real, and that is the spiritual realm. Matthew 12, 43 says, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came, and when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. That last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with this wicked generation." Jesus is specifically referring to the nation of Israel, and that when they rejected him, there was no more hope. And so that the satanic spiritual realm comes back sevenfold, and that same thing happens to an individual. We have to clean the house, but after we clean the house, we have to fill the house. Are you with me? Yes. Clean your home, but then fill it. There's not going to be a vacuum. There can't be a void. Something will fill the void. So we need to fill it with the Lord. Amen. When there was vile, vulgar garbage coming through the speakers of our home, let's now fill it with praise. When there's garbage coming over our screens, let's now put God in the middle of our screens. Instead of looking at Facebook, put your face in this book. And so there, it just needs to be a transition maybe in our home, because there is a real enemy and he really wants in there. So don't just clean it. You got to fill it back up. Chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Anybody in here testify and say, I was once darkness? I'm telling you. The problem is, when we become light, sometimes the darkness, the dark habits, the dark, that stuff might follow you. So you have to be reminded every now and then, hey, you're still living like the old way. We need to remind ourselves we are of the new way. Amen. I got to get going here. Look at here. I want verse 11 to pull up. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You were darkness, but now you're not. But you can still mess with that stuff. Don't. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose it. Why do you have to expose it? Because it'll hide. It'll hide in your home. Just like Achan buried that stuff under his tent, it'll hide in your home. It'll creep in. And by the way, if left unchecked, it will corrupt. And so here it says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Shine light on it. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Amen. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. You may take every minute captive, redeeming the time, because the days are evil, and they're getting more evil by the day. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. But here we go. Be filled with the Spirit. Amen. So you can't just clean the house, because once you come in authority and remove the demonic presence out of your house, it will come back if you have not filled the house. And what am I to fill the house with? Be filled with the Spirit. Amen. I've got to close here, but I want to point out real quick before I close, as Jesus was in preparation for an escalation of the kingdom of God. Remember, when he ascends, he tells his disciples before he ascends, I'm going to send the Spirit, and you will go, and you will be my witnesses, Acts 1:8, in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and uttermost parts of the world. You're going to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there's going to be an escalation of the kingdom of God like this world had never seen before. But in preparation for this escalation, Jesus comes along and he goes into his daddy's house and he cleans house. Because in his father's house, the temple in the city of Jerusalem, stuff had been allowed in over time. Stuff had been allowed in. Oh, it all had the show of holiness at first, because what happened was people would come and say, I'm coming to offer a sacrifice, but I live a long, long ways away, so I'm going to sell my sheep all the way up there in the northern country. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to take that money, and then I'm going to come down here to the temple with my money, and then I'm going to buy sheep, but what they have on their money are images of these pagan gods. And they say, you can't bring those pagan gods in here. You're going to have to exchange. And so you're going to have to exchange money. You're going to have to buy sacrifices. And these people that were doing this were thieves. They were just running the price up. I got you over a barrel now, because you can't. You're here in the temple and you have to exchange right here. And no, you can't bring that pagan money in our temple. It's got the image of a false god on it. You got to exchange with my money. And you see what's happening? Oh, at first it sounded holy. We're going to keep the pagan worship out of the temple. But what they were doing was they were taking advantage of people. And at first it was just allowed in. Just like when I was in high school, it was the phrase was tolerance. The phrase was tolerance. So at first we're going to tolerate it. And then the next generation of phrase was acceptance. Anybody with me? Anybody remember these phrases? They were the catchphrase of the day. First it was tolerance, then it was acceptance, and now what is it? Celebrate it. What you first tolerate, you will soon celebrate. If you continue to tolerate it. What first you thought was you were going to rule over, now all of a sudden it rules over you. Now there are things that come across our TV that used to would have shocked us. And now it's just nothing. Let's be careful. This is not benign. This is not innocent. There are real spiritual entities at play behind this. And you know what it wants? It wants you. It wants your marriage. It wants your children. It wants your grandchildren. Destroy. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I love what Jesus said. I've come they may have life and have it to the fullest. I want to live the full life. Can we take covenant meal together? This is what this is. As we take communion, it's a covenant meal in which we said we are the covenant people of God. And we are coming together to say we're all in this together. We're all in this together. As a child of God, I have come into covenant with Him and said, Lord, now it's just You. I'm not going to serve the gods of this world. I'm going to serve You, God. So stand with me as we take communion together. Lord Jesus, thank You. You are the bread from heaven. You have come to give us life. Life to the fullest. You are our supply. You are our strength. I don't need to eat from the junk food of this world because it cannot satisfy. But I will receive from You, Lord. Thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As You said, Lord Jesus, this is the blood of the new covenant. The nation of Israel couldn't keep the old covenant. It had too much based on them, and they didn't have God within them, just God among them. But now we have, as children of God, as Christians, we have God in us. Thank You, because of the blood of the new covenant. Thank You, Lord. We love You too. In Jesus' name.